We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Johnny Marks and Ike Reese. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, Marks and Reese, we're back live from Chickie, South Philly. Victory Monday. Malcolm Jenkins scheduled to join us here in a second. Let's take some phone calls in between. Hank in Bordentown. Hank, how are you?
Mr. Mark, Sir Reese, how's everything going?
Mr. Hank.
What's up, Hank?
Oh, man, I can't call it. First off, man, shout out to that offensive line that they played pretty decent.
How about Andre Dillard?
Outstanding the last 2 weeks. Outstanding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's what I needed them to do, man. I need them to go ahead and gel because once they start gelling, then it seems like Carson Wentz don't have to take so much heat from all of these doggone fans out there that keep on blaming him. On a victory Monday, I've been listening all day. How does Wentz get the hate and the blame from certain people? I just don't understand it. When you see people out there like Mac Hollins, you see him lined up, you see him run, you don't see him no more. And it's like, that's it, every play. But somehow it comes back to Wentz every single time. And if we would have lost this game, even though a lot of people not too happy about, you know, a lot of people not too happy about the win. If we would have, we might as well should have lost for the way certain people feel. But anyhow, the reason for my call is, and my question is for Ike. I read a stat and I brought it up before. I saw that Miles Sanders had this crazy stat of he had like 600. Total all-purpose yards. And they compared him to Alvin Kamara in his rookie year. Do you think we actually found a diamond in the rough in our running back?
I like Miles Sanders coming out. I did. I really liked Miles Sanders coming out. I don't know if he's Alvin Kamara just yet. He's starting to be a more comfortable out there as a runner, being a little more patient out there as a runner. Obviously, when you got a guy like Jordan Howard you're sharing touches with, it's going to be a little more difficult for you to get in your rhythm. But I like Miles Sanders. I always liked Miles Sanders. I was excited when we signed him. I don't know if he's an every down back. It'll be interesting in the offseason what they do with Jordan Howard. Oh, Malcolm's here.
Okay. Malcolm is here, heading into the bye week, the 5-4 Eagles. And Malcolm Jenkins joins us after every game at 2:30. Malcolm, what's up, man?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
What's up, Malcolm? What do you think of Miles Sanders as an every down back? I'm just joking.
I think eventually he's gonna be there. I think like right now, there's a couple times here or there where, you know, he's making really explosive plays, and I think he looks for that a lot. I think that every down back, you know, is the guy that knows when to pick and choose his spots, knows when to just get those hard 3 or 4 yards, but still can hit that home run. I think he's still kind of learning a little bit of that, but I think he's definitely going to be capable of it.
Yeah, you guys' running game the last 2 weeks has been outstanding. It's really been the driving force for the offense, and I'm interested from a defensive standpoint, the advantage of having an offense dominate the time of possession 2-1 like your offense did yesterday. How does that help your defense out there in a game like yesterday?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, especially in the first half, I thought it was huge because, you know, we went to going to play a lot of man-to-man, freshman quarterback. And I know from a defensive back's perspective, when you got to press and be aggressive and play man-to-man, you know, that takes a toll on you from a conditioning standpoint. But we were able to go 3 and out, and then our offense was, you know, sustaining these long drives, really hanging on the back of the running game. And when we look up at the time of possession, especially in that first half, like, it was so lopsided that, you know, you put a lot of pressure on the opposing defense because they're on the field for a long time. Mm-hmm. Our defense is rested, and, you know, and so when we get out there, you got fresh D linemen that are humming. You got DBs that are, you know, fresh, that can run around with everybody else. So that always helps your team when you can run the ball and control kind of the pace of the game.
Yeah, it seemed like you guys had an answer for everything Chicago wanted to do, particularly in that first half. 9 yards of total offense is what Chicago had in that first half. Just talk a little bit about the defense and how you guys sort of game planned against that Chicago offense and what was successful for you out there.
Yeah, we knew we had to start, with stopping the run. They do a really good job. Their back has really been coming on late, and they've been featuring them a little bit more. So we had to stop the run and then stop really the gadget plays early in the game. And I thought Swartz did a really good job, especially early, just keeping us settled with very, very simple calls that doesn't call for a ton of adjustments so that we can get lined up and play, and not get distracted by the different formations, the different personnel, all the things that the Bears do. And so I thought we handled that really early. And when we got to third down, we were able to play some man-to-man and get home with some pressures. And I thought whenever we can play man, I think that, getting healthy again, having Avonte Maddox, Ronald Darby, Jalen Mills all out there kind of at the same time allows us to play more man. And that gets those gets our guys up front, the Fletcher Coxes and Brandon Grahams, all of a sudden they get one-on-ones. Because we can add another guy in pressure, and, they had a day.
Yeah, Malcolm, pass rush has definitely been there. What's your identity right now as a defense? I feel like finally with your guys getting back, the identity is like, hey, we can play. We can get pressure on the quarterback. We can send some people. Where do you see yourselves right now? Because there's two ways to look at the defense right now, right, after the last 2 weeks. It's defense is coming on. They've played great. That's the glass half full. Or they've played two quarterbacks that aren't known to be great quarterbacks at throwing the football. But how do you guys see yourself?
I think, I honestly don't – I don't think we'll have the same identity for every team. I think we'll be one of those teams or defenses that really adjust based on who we're playing. If we feel like, there are quarterbacks – that like easy, control passing games, probably going to be a man-to-man team that takes away those first couple, options and makes the quarterback go through his read or makes the offense protect. But then there's guys that, like an Aaron Rodgers who gets rid of the ball really quickly, and you don't want to have those one-on-ones, early in the down. You want to create, zones to make him hold it a little bit, make him go through progressions that way. So I think for us, it's really based off of who the opponent is, and I think we'll put ourselves in the best matchups as possible. Now, obviously, it's easier to do that the healthier you are. You have a lot more versatility, a lot more flexibility when it comes to that. And I think, as we go throughout the season, or as we've gone through the season, we've gotten healthier and healthier, and I think that's been apparent in the last 2 weeks.
Malcolm, bye week. Come at a good time for you guys. Seems like a lot of you getting healthy, but just mentally, good time for a bye week.
Yeah, I think so, man. It's been it's been a roller coaster of a season already. A lot of hype and expectations going into the year. A lot of adversity early. We fought back, fell down, fought back, fell down. Obviously, the last 2 weeks have been kind of on the uptrend, but still trying to get healthy. So I think it is a good time to really take a break, and then as we look forward, the road doesn't really get much easier. You take a deep breath, you look back over some of the things that you think you can improve over, and then you start to look forward to these opponents ahead and get ready to go on a run.
What's your plans for the bye week?
I'm going to get out of town for a couple of days, but, I'll be back in town later in the week just to start, like I said, once you get to – Thursday, Friday, you want to really start tuning your mind back into, looking forward to the next opponent, getting a head start, getting your body back right. But I'm going to take a break for a few days.
You feel like you guys have enough on your side of the ball to make this push in the second half of the season and get this division and get into the postseason?
I think we have more than enough. Especially if we stay healthy and continue to get healthier. And then some of, the new guys that we have up front in the D-line get a little bit more experience in our system. I think we'll be fine.
Well, yeah. Malcolm, well, listen, enjoy your time off. I wanted to ask you one question before you went. Last week, after you were on with us and then, we finished our show and I went home, I saw you were doing something as you normally do in the community. You had some type of a town hall. Can you tell us what was going on last Monday night and what you were doing?
Yeah, so as many people know, the Philadelphia Police Commissioner resigned earlier this year, and the mayor, Mayor Kenney, is charged with coming up with his replacement. And so he asked the community through social media that, you know, he wanted to hear the input. And so what from the community, so what we did was organize a town hall in which, you know, members of the community could come. We had a few panel discussions about policing and what we'd like to see out of their new commissioner, what different practices and things, the cultural change we want to see in our police department, but really just to capture the voices of the public. And so I thought it was a great event. It was well attended. We had a lot of participation. We'll continue to kind of highlight the selection process from the mayor to make sure that he's taking input from the community and that their concerns are being heard.
Man, keep doing what you're doing. You make us proud of you. Forget about football and on that field, but what you do in the community, a lot of action behind your words. And just want you to know, I know you hear it, but just want you to know from us that we appreciate what you do and the interest that you take in this community.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Enjoy the bye week, Malcolm.
Talk to you guys next week.
There he is, Malcolm Jenkins. Yeah, I mean, it was something where I went home last week and I looked, mm-hmm. and I was like, man, he it wasn't even really publicized.
Right.
Because he didn't want it to be blown up, because Meek Mill was there
yep.
with him. So
yep.
he didn't want it to be blown up.
It was a huge
deal,
yeah.
Where it became, you know, I want
it wasn't a photo op, yeah.
Right. It was really, let's roll up our sleeves and figure this out. So, Malcolm, listen, guys talk the talk. He walks the walk, and he
no
has
doubt
for
about
a
it.
Number of
no
years.
No doubt
so.
About it.
We're proud to have him on the show every week.
Joining us right now is a Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, Michael Irvin. Insider Calls brought to you by the midsize Metches from Mercedes-Benz, the playmaker, Michael Irvin. Michael, it's John Marks and former Eagle Ike Reese. How are you?
For saying about receivers, that means it was my time to step in the conversation.
Michael, we can't stop talking about receivers here. Based on our receivers here, they're struggling this year.
Yeah, man. That's why I always talk about diversity of receivers. You know, unless you have a certain system, you know, like the Patriots where you need small, and you play inside-out game, you need diversity of receivers. And you had that in droves, which was scared the hell out of him when you had it perfectly fit. When you had Alshon and you have Deshaun Jackson, even more so than any time that you've had that downfield guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a different kind of beast. I don't care. I tell people all the time, you can try to make a track guy a wide receiver. When you have guys, you really turn the track guys into wide receivers. That's why they don't really have great hands. But Deshaun Jackson is a receiver with track guy speed.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a huge difference. You know, he can play 4-3. So now Marvin Wolf is huge. Now, I said it a couple of weeks ago when I thought the Dallas Cowboys were going to be without Amari Cooper. I said, I understand everybody wanted the NFL to be the measuring line for the world, the world conference. I said, but right now, if Amari Cooper is out, Dallas can kick the tires on Antonio Brown. And then now I hear people saying the same thing about Philadelphia because the reality is your job is to try to win football games, and that's a beat not have if you don't have Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, Mike, AB may have burnt that opportunity to the ground today when he got back on social media today, so I don't even know.
I saw it, dog. I saw it. I just beat down. I was like, come on, man. What are you talking about now? Oh, I'm done with football. I'm done with the NFL. Dude, listen, you don't get done with the NFL. The NFL gets done with you. You don't walk away. It's like I was negotiating with Jalen one time. This was before you really had free agents. And I'm in there, I'm trying to get, I want to be the highest paid. And first time I negotiated with Jerry, I wanted to be the highest paid. He said, Michael, Jerry Rice is the highest paid. He said, and I had just won a receiver of you. So with Jerry Rice, won a Super Bowl. You got to go get some Super Bowls. Then I went and got the Super Bowl, and Tim Brown was the highest. He said, Michael, Tim Brown is the highest. I'm going to put you right above Tim Brown. I said, oh, no, you're not. You're going to put me way above Tim Brown. Tim Brown ain't got them Super Bowls. I got Super Bowls now. You see, now what it was, though, Jerry said to me after a while, he said, Michael, we just got to sit here and do we come to a number. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, it's either you play football or you don't. This kind of money, they don't pay you flipping burgers at McDonald's. So, you know, there's no place else to go to make this kind of money for doing something you love. And Antonio Brown has done, I don't care how much money you have, I don't care how big your bag is, you put a hole in the bottom of that bag, and there's no money going in the hole in the top of that bag, you too will be on the show called Broke real soon. Mm. So get your butt together. You do need this NFL. And it's what defines him. It's what has made him. It's given him a chance at a life that he climbed out of the hellhole in Miami. And I just don't understand. I do understand what he's doing, why he's doing it. I don't understand what he's doing, but I understand why he's doing it. And that's the sad thing.
Yeah. From a receiver standpoint, Mike, we're looking at our guys, right? Alshon and Nelson Agholor here. And I think you're a perfect person to ask. Obviously, you're a Hall of Fame wide receiver. But you were a guy that didn't necessarily rely on blazing speed and superior athleticism. But and still, you were one of the best in the game at that time, and you turned into a champion and a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Talk to me about losing confidence and then regaining your confidence, because we kind of feel like our receivers may be dealing with a little bit of a confidence issue right now, and we want to know whether or not, how do they get that back with Carson?
Hardest thing in the world, too, dog. I'm telling you, if that is so true and so reality, if that's the reality, it's one of the hardest things in the world. I liken it sometimes to people. I say it's like having money and losing it and trying to get it back again. It's a hard thing. You're dealing with the pain of the loss as you're trying to regain it. I went through it one time in my career, and it was actually my rookie year because I had talked so much coming in. So when I got drafted, I said, I can catch a beater in the dark. And my first opening press conference, I told somebody, I said, shoot a BB gun. I catch a beater in the dark. Talking all that noise. I got in the training camp. I dropped every damn thing they threw me. Every damn thing. I was like, oh, my God. Dog, this is true story. I went to get my eyes checked. I went to get my hands checked. I got everything checked, and I had to face up in the mirror and say, hey, man, ain't nothing wrong with none of that. This is in your mind. I was talking about, is it too windy out here in Thousand Oaks? And when it gets in your mind, it's the most powerful tool you have is your mind, and getting it back out of your mind, the only thing that gets it back out is success. Success. And if they feel that's what's happening, then it's up to Coach Peterson to do things to make sure they have success. I don't care if you have to throw 5 smoke routes in the beginning of a game. Let's get the ball in their hands, get them moving up the field with the ball, get them a feeling of success, and let that start breeding more and more success, and more confidence will come with it. But that's a hard turnaround, to make turnaround in the middle of a season.
Hey, Mike, I mean, obviously we watch every game and we analyze it to every second and we talk about it nonstop. It seems to us that there's a chemistry issue with the wide receivers and the quarterback. We don't know if it's a chemistry issue with the wide receivers and the quarterback or the quarterback and the wide receivers, but is that something that you've dealt with before as far as chemistry, and is that something you see when you watch the Eagles?
I don't think it's a chemistry problem between Alshon and Carson Wentz. I don't think that. I think, you know, in the game that I saw, the game I watched, I did that Green Bay game. I watched them all, but I did that Green Bay game. There were a few plays in there that made me, that reminded me of my days with Troy. There was one play where I saw him going across the middle, and he just felt like he needed to break back out. He broke back out, and Carson Wentz hit him and all that. I said, okay, that shows chemistry. Because I'm telling you, I promise you, you can feel when your quarterback, when you have real chemistry, you feel when your quarterback is in trouble. And I saw that within a game in Philadelphia. So I know the chemistry is there. Which brings it back to what you guys were just talking about, is the confidence. I don't think there's a chemistry issue. I don't know if there's a confidence issue, but what I saw on the football field, what I've seen when I watch these guys play, I don't think a chemistry issue is the problem.
Mm. Mike, when you watch this team right now, it seems like the Eagles have been at their best recently with Deshaun out running the football. They have 2 really good running backs. The offensive line's blocking really well. I guess what the question now is, can that be sustained? 7 games left. Can you run your way to the playoffs if you're the Eagles?
in this league, that's the whole issue, man. In this league, when we're such a copycat league and everybody's trying to do the next Tom McVay and throwing all these exotic passing things, all in passing routes and all route tree in the game, but everything you forget about the main thing, and the main thing is the running game. It sets up why when you can get more yards with one 15-yard throw than you can with one handoff. There are more possibilities of a mistake and more possibilities of a turnover in a 15 or 20-yard pass than there is in a run. If we're running, everybody's like, I just turn around and hand the ball off with a 15-yard pass. Then I can drop back, get hit, and I can lose the fumble on the snap. I can drop back, get ready to pass, get hit, and get fumbled. I can throw an interception. He can catch the ball and get hit. So many possibilities for mistakes. So the run game narrows that gate. And when you can get a great run game, you narrow the gate of turnovers. You narrow the gate of mistakes, and you hold on to the ball and keep the ball from your opponent, no matter who you're playing, especially when you're playing a guy like Tom Brady. You saw what they did last week to Tom Brady and the great Patriots just by running the football. In this passing league, the most important asset you can have, really, is a run game. And Philly now has one, kind of like what they had a couple of years ago with LeGarrette Blount when you guys were doing some real running to the Super Bowl. But they haven't had that for a while, and it looks like now Jordan Howard and those guys are trying to get back to it.
Can Eagles win one of the next two games, Michael? Patriots at Lincoln Financial Field, Seahawks at Lincoln Financial Field. They have a bye this week, the Eagles do. Can they win one of the next two games?
Oh, they can win one of them. It'll be hard to win them both. It'll be hard to win them both. But now, honestly, you know, when I remove my head and just look at my old body, because right now I'm talking out of my head, but my heart's, oh, my God. I hate to say it, but they can actually win both. If Philly plays their best game and they are able to run the football and play their best game, yes, they can win both. But the reality is they can lose both also, you know. And I've seen Philly play some of their best ball when their backs are against the wall. Philly and Dallas, the same way. It gets right up under my skin to have teams that whenever their back's against the wall, they come out fighting. When I did that game in Green Bay, Philly's back was against the wall.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They had to have that game.
Mm-hmm.
They had to have that game, and they went in and got it. When Dallas played Philly, Dallas' back was against the wall. They had to have that game and went in and got it. Why can't you do that every week? Why must you have a nail in your hands and your back staple on the wall to have to come out fighting like that? You got to get to a place where you have that kind of fight week in and week out. Then you'll get a chance to fight for a Super Bowl.
All right.
December 22nd, Cowboys come to town. What are you thinking? Will that game be meaningful? And who's going to win this division?
Man, that's going to be a division turner. Mm-hmm. That's the game. Neither one of these teams are running away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of what I just told you. Philly, watch these men. Watch after they take this bye. Watch how they play those next 2 weeks. Because those are mean. Those are back against the wall games. Watch how they play. I saw Dallas playing against Philly, but then I also saw what they did against New York. And I also saw how they started against the Giants the other day. I'm like, are you joking? Like, are you joking? Until that damn black cat came out? Are you serious? If they, they got all the talent to do it, but it seems like they got to get pressure to do it. So right now, they'll be in a pressure situation these next few weeks, and they'll have to turn a corner and make things happen. So you should see the best team they have these next 2 weeks.
All right, there he is, Michael Irvin, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Michael, we will talk to you around that Dallas game, and hopefully it means the division, and we can talk further.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping. I'm hoping Dallas is far up enough that it's just another game, but I understand what you mean. Hey, make sure y'all call me so we can discuss and rehearse the exact over what we just talked about here today. And we'll be saying, boy, you hit the nail on the head. Every game that they back against the wall, they played.
You know what I mean? With desperation hit. And if both of those teams are in a desperate place, we'll have a great game.
That'll be a hell of a game. Michael, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Q.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks, yep.
There he is, the playmaker. He's brought to you by the midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz. We'll come back. We got phone calls, 888-729-9494. Marks and Reese. I mean, he's absolutely right. The Cowboys need to be, the Cowboys, when with their backs against the wall, that's where they're at their best.
Yeah.
Same with the Eagles.
They both, yeah. Well, I mean, that game probably going to matter.
It's going to matter. 888-729-9494. Don't go anywhere. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome, 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 welcome. Marks and Reese on a Thursday. Johnny Marks and Ike Reese. What is up, Ike?
What's up there, Johnny Marks?
Well, I thought at the beginning of the day we were going to have a final Antonio Brown debate. A story comes out, Josina Anderson, that he's scheduled to meet with the NFL next week, and he wants to get back in it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Teams are interested. Rap Sheet comes out with a tweet short time later, Ian Rappaport, who's employed by the NFL, that reads in part, this is the first meeting with him, could spur other offers. League investigation into allegations is not expected to conclude anytime soon. So the NFL puts word out there like, yeah, he's meeting with us, but I wouldn't expect him on a roster anytime soon. The NFL was going to slow play this. So then Antonio Brown comes out with a tweet, I would say a short time later, that it's pretty clear it's going to be hard for him to meet with the NFL and play after everything that's happened and this tweet that came out again today. So, I mean, you would agree based on this last tweet?
Yeah.
This might have been it.
Yep.
All right. So, last night we start the, you know, we get off the air, Ike, and Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio comes on, and I didn't even leave. I wasn't even, like, gone from the call screener, and Julio comes out throwing fastballs, and the fastball he threw was, you know what? If Ben Simmons doesn't change what's going on, because, listen, he was supposed to be shooting outside jumpers, or at least a lot of us thought that was going to happen. He hasn't this year. It's just more of the same. He's more or less saying, like, yep, I think the Sixers should consider trading him, like, pretty much now or at the trade deadline, right? And then last night he plays and he gets hurt and he doesn't finish the game. And you know, he's really been the same Ben Simmons from last year. You know, I saw some tweets. I had some, you know, friends texting in conversation. It's like, man, people are vicious on Ben Simmons. So here's the question. Jack put this out there on Twitter, right? Do we treat our, and I'm not even going to say our stars fairly. Let's ask two specific people, Carson Wentz and Ben Simmons. Do we treat them fairly? Are they treated fairly by this fan base, by the media, by WIP, by the callers, by everybody that's involved in the Philadelphia sports scene? Are we unfair to Ben Simmons and Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
That simple, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, listen.
I mean, not really.
I don't think. I mean, obviously, there's more to it. It's not unfair to expect or to have high expectations of both players. They both have the talent and the ability to meet those expectations. So that's not necessarily unfair. What becomes unfair is the criticism when they aren't meeting your expectations to a degree, right? I think sometimes they're unrealistic. Now, Ben, everybody wants a jump shot, right? Everybody wants him to shoot jumpers. I get it. So do I.
Right.
Here's what I don't want him to do. Jack up jump shots for the sake of jacking up jump shots. That's not going to make us praise him, right? Because once he misses them, we're going to say, dude, stop shooting the ball. You can't shoot, right? Like, that's going to be us. That's going to be our response to it. That if he starts jacking up shots and untimely points in the game, meaning late in the game, because that's when the team's going to sag off of him and dare him to shoot, well, those are critical moments in a game. You think he's going to throw away a possession by just throwing up a shot so that people are comfortable with him? He's not going to do that. And then Carson, right? I think we think this dude can overcome all obstacles, should overcome all obstacles. I don't care if his back is broken, if he's coming off reconstructive knee surgery. It does not matter. You need to have this team in the playoffs in the Super Bowl. Right? Like, that's unrealistic, and it's unfair. It's unfair. So, listen, when you get paid the money they get paid, when you're in the position that they're in, it comes with the job, the criticism, but I do at times believe it's unfair at times. It's unfair at times. Like, Joel doesn't get the criticism that Ben gets.
See, I actually think Carson Wentz is more popular than Ben Simmons. I feel like that Carson Wentz, yeah, sure, you're going to have people to criticize him. We hear it. I mean, mm-hmm. We do this for a living. We hear it.
I mean, we basically had the former community to protect the guy.
Well, as I'm retweeting,
what we did.
As I'm retweeting our Twitter question right now, brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, Route 309 in Montgomeryville, online, marks-jewelers.com. Great place to go if you're getting engaged. An amazing selection of engagement rings. I've seen some pretty amazing things by the LTB community.
Mm-hmm.
LTBB community.
Mm-hmm.
But this might take the cake. Because in your opinion, who is treated more unfairly in Philadelphia? And Carson Wentz is winning 72-28%. And people just see the name Carson Wentz.
Oh, you mean of those two?
Of those two, who's specifically.
Easily Carson Wentz.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, easily. That's not even a question. That's not even a question.
Yeah, but by who? By the Santa Gilios,
yes.
And the unfair people like that, mm-hmm. maybe. Mm-hmm. Right, but by the rest of us, he's not treated unfairly. I can at least make the case Ben Simmons is treated more unfairly. Right? Because people treat Ben Simmons like, just trade him, get out of here. Like, you can't project what he's going to be in the future. He's still a very young player in this league, right?
Well, I mean, people wanted to get rid of Carson, too.
No, they did.
And keep Nick.
I feel like the Ben stuff is stronger.
Okay.
I feel like Ben is treated more unfair than Carson, for sure. Ben doesn't have a community that overprotects him like Carson does. I mean, there's something to be said about that.
Well, nobody cares about the Sixers enough to form a community. I mean, let's keep it real. There's not enough people out there to care enough about the Sixers to form a community, especially around Ben Simmons.
Maybe we need to start. Rocho Porter tried. No one. Just...
Well, yeah, he actually does have a community formed. He does.
There's only three or four people in it, though. Jack?
They meet once a month, though. It's not every day like
right.
In the LTV community.
We have weekly meetings.
No, there's daily meetings online and here. You guys communicate through code.
Yeah, and we locate all haters out there. We locate you guys. We find you.
Jack, what do you think, man? Just in general, because right now, Joel Embiid, people don't treat him unfairly. Would you agree with that?
No.
People are, for the most part, the talent's unbelievable. So people are going to look at the talent and say, nah, man. I mean, there's no doubt about his talent. He's unbelievable. But Ben, he's got talent. But there's no doubt, not that jump shot, it's hurt the team in the past. It hurt the team. We see it in the last two playoff years.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts the team. When you play the better teams, or when, like, trust me, this year, if they go to the playoffs and Ben Simmons is still playing the way he is right now, people are going to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get crushed.
Yep.
And you know what? That'll be totally justified. When you lose and you're losing because the team more or less needs you to step up and you're not doing it, that's going to hurt.
And this is why I would say it's unfair. Ben is 23 years old. You drafted this kid knowing that he lacked these capabilities, being a confident shooter from the outside. It's no different. You watched him at LSU. When I'm saying you, I'm saying the Sixers.
Yeah.
You drafted him. You also just let J.J. Redick walk. You also let Jimmy Butler walk, which I was okay with. So here's where I'm going with that. They get to the playoffs. And they lose because of lack of outside shooting, it's not Ben's fault. It's the Sixers' fault. Because Ben Simmons wasn't going to turn into Ray Allen or any other sharp shooter from the outside in less than a year. So what you should have done when you put this team together is put more shooters on this team so that Ben isn't put in that position. The same thing with Carson. You know why Carson isn't at an elite level this year in an MVP conversation like a lot of us thought he would be in the preseason? He doesn't have the talent around him.
I think that's fair.
He doesn't have the talent around him. So, to me, if they don't make it to the NBA Finals, it won't be because Ben can't shoot jumpers. We know that today he can't shoot jumpers.
Yeah, but wasn't he supposed to?
Yeah, but he's not going to get to April and May and June and all of a sudden become a confident jump shooter, at least not to a point where it's going to win a series for you.
Right.
No, they should have put more shooters on this team so that Ben isn't in that position. They should have put more shooters on this team. So to me, if they don't make it to the finals because of a lack of shooting, it's the Sixers front office fault, not Ben Simmons.
Well, I mean,
Ben is what he is.
But I also think that's why the answer is that Ben gets criticized more, because you'll hear more of people saying, like, Gilio, trade him.
Mm-hmm.
Trade him. I know he's got value. Trade him.
That's
like,
ridiculous.
Like people literally like now are saying, nope, trade him. Get Devin Booker. Trade him. Get a shooter. Get a scorer to pair with Embiid. Mm-hmm. Trade him. And here's what I'd say, right? Anytime that you're talking about trading a star, you have to look and say, would you regret that? And there's a chance that you would really, like, you would regret letting go of one of, like, a real franchise player with Ben Simmons. So it's amazing how many people are already ready to let him, like, all right, bye. See right. ya. Let's bring in somebody else. I mean, didn't we wait this many years for Ben Simmons? And I criticize him. He drives me crazy with not shooting. Mm-hmm. But I also realize that he can develop his game to where he can give you what you need to make this team a winner. I mean, you said it before. Sixers may not be ready to win now.
They aren't ready to win. I mean, I still believe that. It doesn't mean that they aren't talented, and he isn't a star here and going to be a star for the next decade. And unless you're bringing me someone that is a superstar that's better than Ben Simmons in here, like you're never going to get equal trade value for Ben Simmons, right? Like. Why would Monty Williams trade you Devin Booker for Ben Simmons when he just instituted a game plan where a center is guarding Ben Simmons?
Right. Yeah. and he likes his guy.
Yeah. His guy can shoot
Giannis,
and score.
Because you're not going to trade him for like, oh, we'll get two good players for Ben Simmons. You're not going to do that.
So if you're not trading him for a top 10 player.
It'd be star for star.
Yeah. And nobody's doing that.
888-729-9494.
You want to trade him to Dallas for Luka? That's different. Now we're talking.
Fritz. What do you think?
I'm a Luka guy.
Are we unfair? I don't think we're. By the way, I don't think we're unfair at all. Right?
I think the Ben stuff is crazy. Honestly, I really do. I think Ben Simmons is an unbelievable talent, and he's like 23 years old. Yeah, he doesn't have a jump. He doesn't have a jumper yet, but he's a very good NBA player. I think for the most part we are very unfair, and for the most part with Wentz, it's like. We saw what the post-Donovan era was like and how terrifying it was, and we have a legitimate franchise quarterback. Is he perfect? I don't think he's perfect. But
speaking of somebody who was treated unfair.
Oh, God, here we go.
Five?
Yeah. Shout out to Fog. Congratulations tonight. Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame.
888-729-9494. The Twitter question. Who's treated more unfairly in Philadelphia, Carson Wentz or Ben Simmons? So you're implying that they're both treated unfairly.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're both treated unfairly.
Yeah, but see, hang on a second. Like, what exactly are we treating Ben Simmons unfairly? Like, are people going over the top? Sure, are going over the
Nick
top.
Nick Foles is a bad quarterback, and people want to bring back Nick Foles and bring with Carson Wentz.
People. What are you talking? Mm-hmm. It's the same people, the same five people that booed Bryce Harper because he didn't get a hit, right? To say, like, no.
Oh, yeah, I heard those boos.
Yeah, same five people. 888
Bryce Harper hasn't gotten any criticism.
94-94. It's Marks and Reese. No, it's not. Listen, here's what happens when you make big money. All right, mm-hmm. You get criticism. Now, is there unfair criticism? Sure. I mean, there's times where I think athletes are unfairly criticized. I don't think either one of these players have been unfairly criticized.
Do you think Donovan was unfairly criticized?
More than these guys. More than Carson Wentz.
Well, he was here longer.
Donovan McNabb.
Give it time.
But like for all the stuff with Carson Wentz, and people are like, "Oh my God, how do you expect him to win with these players he's playing with?" Look at Donovan's freaking. Offense that he played with for a number of years.
And people still criticized him.
They did, but that's my point with Carson Wentz. If Donovan's going to get criticized, then you're not even close what he gets compared to Donovan. 888.
Well, we didn't say that.
No, but like you could say Donovan was unfairly.
That was over the top with Donovan.
Right, and these guys aren't over the top criticized. I think that's where you can say that Donovan was unfairly criticized in at least some of the time was it was over the top.
Mm-hmm.
These guys...
Yep.
Not over the top.
We want to trade the guy.
All right. Let's talk about it on the other side. 888-729-9494. Jack Fritz has done a good job today as producer. Listen to this guest list.
What did he do?
And we'll ask all of them about Antonio Brown if they think the Eagles should sign him. Brian Baldinger at 3 o'clock. He was on an airplane yesterday. That's why he was unable to. And Jack didn't do a good job of communicating with him during the day.
I made it up today.
Right. So you did. Good job. Brian Baldinger at 3 o'clock. Shio Kapati at 4 o'clock. And how about this? The playmaker, Michael Irvin, at 5:15. How about that? Marks and Reese, 888-729-9494. We start on the phones next. Marks and Reese, I started the day in a great mood, feeling good about my team. Not anymore. But I'm going to rev it back up, so hang tight, everybody. So, Ike, I'm gonna show you the picture so you can describe it, and then we're going to go to the mean tweets, all right? So when you look at the actual picture on Twitter, at Marks Reese WIP,
mm-hmm.
Right? Because the girls are so tall, the hell's my cursor? All right, because the girls are so tall,
and you, before you expand it, you can barely even see me if you look at it right here. So then you expand it. All right, so now there is a, you know, one gal is 6'7". The other one is 6'9". I come up to almost the shoulders on one, and I come up just above the bosom on the other.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And I'm wearing a, I'm wearing an Eagle sweatshirt. I have my hat on backwards. Some people yesterday were saying I look like Bud Bundy in the from Married with Children.
A little bit.
I've heard that before in my life.
A little bit.
So let's hear what people had to say about it.
Look at the bobblehead doll we got at the Eagles game. Al Morganti. Two women and a baby. At The Nudge 72. When your mom forces you to bring your little brother to the party. At SJS EMP. When his Tinder profile says he's 6'4". At Brian Brazina. Where are they now? The Lollipop Kids edition. At Premise SNN. 2.5 Man. At Eddie 687. Marksy helps two strangers find the yellow brick road at It's Only Doug. He's a South Pole elf at Nebo 351. I took Josh Allen over Carson Wentz at Matt McGinnis. Who let Bagel Boss in Chickies?
Aww.
At Tommy Boy 698.
Wow.
The Bagel Boss thing looks kind of real.
Believe me, there was plenty of more.
Yeah.
There was plenty more there. Yeah, I mean, you got 170-something replies here.
Well, maybe before we get out of here, we have the, we do have the text line coming up at 540-ish. Marks and Reese text line. So if you want to get some last ones in there, just you can comment. It says caption this, at Marks Reese WIP.
Make-A-Wish Foundation really came through for this WNBA fan.
I will say...
Oh, my God.
I will say, even though that... They're much taller than me. They were both attractive.
Yes.
Weren't they? I mean, even for being 6'7", it was like, all right.
That's kind of hard to do,
Yeah, I mean, I need a ladder or something, some kind of equipment.
Stilts or something. Yeah, need something.
Cole Hamels.
Yeah.
Could he be back in Philly? We know they have a need. Matt Klentak was on the midday show today telling everybody that he wasn't wrong about the starting pitching. He did. He's doubling down on that. Well, we weren't wrong.
Right.
You know, the results are what was wrong, but, you know.
Good job, too, by Joe and John with the questions.
Very good interview. John Ritchie was like, he's like Geraldo, nailing him down, man. He was. He's keeping it short and sweet. How do you improve the farm system? He's like, well, the farm system's fine. Like, you know, no, it's not. Stop.
Were you worried about your job?
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a great question.
It was a great question.
He said it, and I'm like, wow, like, that's, I can't wait to hear what he says about this. And his answer was, no, because through the whole thing, I was talking to John Middleton every day, so I never feared for my job. I felt like I was safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think he was safe, too, even though there were reports out there that was saying whatever. All right, so yeah, Cole Hamels. So this is what he told Todd Zielecki today, or yesterday, maybe. He said, I know Philly's trying to make that push. They're building their roster. If I fit on their roster and their plans, I'd love the opportunity to come back. Can we get Joe Conklin to read this for us? And it's Cole Hamels' voice.
Sure.
It's probably more on their end. It's probably more on their end, though, to reach out and see if it actually does fit in their plans. It would be difficult for me to say, hey, I want to play there. Can you guys make it happen? But I'm always willing to play for that team and city and attempt to win a World Series. That's where I am right now. I just want to have the opportunity to get to the postseason so that I can try to win. You know, I mean, with this, I mean, that would be a John Middleton move, honestly. Because if you're doing the Klentak analytics, is he bringing in a guy like Cole Hamels that he'll be 35? He's 35.
We should have brought him in 2 years ago.
Yeah. And why do you think he didn't? The freaking analytics, right? Same reason why they didn't bring Dallas Keuchel. I mean, how would you not have interest in Dallas Keuchel? It's the same reason.
Right.
So, Jack, do you feel like Hamels? I feel like it makes a lot of sense. It's not going to cost a lot of money. It's not going to cost a lot of years. I mean, Jesus, you gave Jake Arrieta more money, more years. Right. You're going to have to give him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, MLB Trade Rumors laid out their evaluation this offseason, and they had him getting 2 years, $30 million. But he said he'd sign a one-year deal to play for a contender. I'm sure he signed a one-year deal here if he had to. I think it's a no-brainer.
I'll go every year. I'll prove myself. I don't mind having my back against the wall. I think I perform better like that anyway. Before, just keeps him more accountable.
He had a groin injury this year that really hurt him. Before that, he had a 2.98 ERA. Like, he's still a good pitcher. I would love to bring him back.
I mean, it makes too much sense for them to do it, honestly. So they probably won't.
You know, we would love it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We're all about reunions. Look at the show, and it worked out so well.
You know what? Great.
Hey man, J Matt just came back.
Ah, you're right. My bad.
Yeah, but we haven't seen how that worked out yet. By the way, Baldy coming up at 3:20. I'm gonna ask Baldy specifically about Andre Dillard's play and if he thinks that bringing Jason Peters back to be the starter is the right thing to do. Because I think everybody, most people, I think right now would say you don't do that. I'm wondering if Baldy's actually willing to say it, because you're talking about a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? You're talking about a guy that's going to have his number retired with the franchise, and that means something. I mean, this isn't Eli Manning where they have no other choice at this point. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and NBC Football Night in America, and his show on NBC Sports Network and NBC Sports Radio and everything else. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, guys?
Man, we're just when we think it's over with Antonio Brown, then he deletes the tweet, he puts out another tweet, and you just wonder if the NFL is really ever going to let him play. So give us the latest and break it down for us.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Something happened on Thursday to cause him to blow a gasket, and he's an emotional guy. And look, a lot of people don't like Antonio Brown. They've had enough of him. He co-opted the first month or so of the season, and there was the constant Antonio Brown questions about blisters on his feet and helmets on his head during training camp, and people just got sick of it. And then you throw in the civil lawsuit for sexual assault and rape. That gave everything a much more sinister tone. He had the incident that got him fired by the Patriots with the text messages that were sent that were harassing slash intimidating. Another accuser who hasn't filed suit just went public with her concerns, even though her name wasn't given. She got her concerns out there about an interaction with Brown. So, you know, nobody is shedding tears for this guy right now, but I can understand why he's frustrated. The NFL has this system in place where you have the threat of paid leave. And if anybody signs him, there's a chance that Brown is going to be put on paid leave. And the NFL won't say whether or not he'd be put on paid leave. But if you're the team that signs him, why are you going to sign him if immediately you're paying him to not play and you're just sitting and waiting for the league to decide what they're going to do with him? The league, meanwhile, taking its good old time with this investigation. He's essentially on unpaid suspension now, the way that this paid leave thing is set up. He has to wait and wait and wait as the NFL kicks the can. And you get the sense the NFL just wants to push this all through the balance of the 2019 season. I can understand why he's upset. And especially if he's completely innocent, that's all the more reason to be upset. I don't know if he's innocent. I don't know if he's guilty. The challenge for him, though, next Thursday is going to be to go into the league office and tell a story that is convincing, if he is telling the truth, and to not get frustrated, to not get mad, to not get upset, because the investigators who are trying to get to the bottom of this will interpret that kind of behavior as maybe evidence of guilt. That is the biggest challenge. Whoever is preparing him for this next week has their work cut out for him, because I don't know how you get Antonio Brown to set aside that emotion that bubbled up yesterday, but it's all driven by emotion. He does want to play in the NFL. He wants this to be over. He believes he's being wronged in some way. And this is how he expresses himself. And if he expresses himself that way next Thursday, I don't think the end result is going to be a good one for Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Seattle says they kicked the tires on Antonio Brown before they eventually put in that waiver claim for Josh Gordon. Do you know what that means? I mean, did they more or less kick the tires and be like, yeah, it's just not going to happen in 2019? Because I agree with you. It seems like the NFL is going to slow play this as long as they can before it's like, well, the season's already over, so too bad. Sorry.
Yeah, it could be that somebody just back-channeled the league office and they said, well, you know what? Hey, you didn't hear this from us, but we're going to put him on paid leave if anyone signs him, period. That would be the only reason not to do it. You could get him a lot cheaper than what they're going to pay Josh Gordon. I think Antonio Brown is a much better player than Josh Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
Although Josh Gordon has the potential to be great. He had 1,646 receiving yards in 2013 in only 14 games. Randy Moss, Terrell Owens never had 1,646 yards in a full season. So, Josh Gordon's no slouch, but I'd take Antonio Brown as a player over Josh Gordon. I think somehow, some way, during that due diligence, the Seahawks found out that they're going to end up paying Antonio Brown to sit and wait while the NFL continues to drag its feet. And see, the problem is, it's harder for the NFL to drag its feet if he's on a team and he's on paid leave, because then there's a greater sense of outrage that why aren't you getting this done? You have a fan base behind the proposition as well. Mm-hmm. Now that he's just floating around out there, there's not nearly the pressure that would be put to bear on the NFL to get this thing done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cincinnati, Mike, what's that situation with A.J. Green? He's not going on the field until he's 100% healthy. That doesn't look like that's going to end well there.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that the Bengals didn't trade A.J. Green. And I don't know if teams didn't try. I don't know if the Bengals were too hard-headed to, you know, to take the best offer they can get and move on. This is the last year of his contract. Every time the Bengals have ever used a franchise tag on someone, the guy walks away the next year. I don't know that they're going to pay A.J. Green the kind of long-term contract that he wants now that the market has gone up to $22 million a year. And if you don't see A.J. Green play this year, how do you decide what you're going to commit to A.J. Green long-term? He missed a lot of games last year. He, at this point, he's 0-8. I mean, if you're A.J. Green, why do you want to risk injury?
You don't.
And if you're the Bengals, how much does he really help? You think more people are going to show up for games because A.J. Green's on the field? It's a lost cause this year in Cincinnati. They should have traded him. And this is where, you know, dysfunctional teams get in their own way. Like Andy Dalton. If they would have benched Andy Dalton before the day of the trade deadline, maybe they could have traded him to somebody. Who knows?
Right.
But they wait until the very day of the trade deadline to bench him. There's no way that you're going to work something out. And you know, dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. And there are five or six NFL teams that fall into that category. But I think the Bengals could have and should have found a way to get something for A.J. Green. If Mohamed Sanu gets a second-round pick for the Falcons, I think A.J. Green gets a first-round pick for the Bengals. And if you're the Bengals, why are you not taking that deal and moving on?
Or at least a second. You know what I mean, Mike? You're getting real value
at a minimum
for
it.
Yeah,
a second-round pick.
Probably a second plus at least. Hey, back real fast back to Antonio Brown for a second. Do you think that they made a mistake not pressing the league to meet with Antonio Brown to start? Because the minute he meets with the league, that's when the investigation kind of takes that next step, right? I mean, we're already in week 10, and they haven't even met with them yet. Now they're finally meeting with them next week. Should they have done this sooner?
Well, the NFL's position will be, and this is what was explained last year when it came out that they had not met with Kareem Hunt in connection with the investigation they were conducting regarding him for an incident that happened in February of 2018. And the position was, well, we like to meet with the player last, and we're having a hard time getting the alleged victim to respond to us. And I think the NFL was just letting the thing sit.
Right.
And there was nothing they were going to do until they had to do something. In this case, okay, you're going to meet with Antonio Brown last. That's fine. But what else are you doing from September 10 until November 14? Like, what took 2 months for a situation where, and again, if this woman's telling the truth, it's a serious situation. And if they believe her allegation that he raped her, I don't know that he ever plays in the NFL again. But there wasn't a criminal investigation. I don't know how difficult it is at this point to find out all the evidence that you need to learn. And I think there's got to be an obligation at some level. And the problem is there's no rules, there's no deadlines, there's no procedure in place for the union to force this to move forward. The NFL is just, you know, they're just taking their time. And not that they're doing it on purpose, you know, but they can if they want to, because there's no specific requirements that this has to be done by then and that has to be done by then. But it's definitely a sign the investigation is almost over because they wait until the very end. But based upon the things they hear from Antonio Brown, they may have to do follow-up with this person, follow-up with that person. I just really think that it's set up to take the whole season, and I don't think there's anybody at 345 Park Avenue who's going to complain about that.
Right, and so you don't expect him to be on a team in 2019?
I don't expect him to play in 2019. And, you know, it won't surprise me if, and I don't know what they're going to do, right? But if they decide after meeting with him that he needs to be disciplined, and they don't think there was a rape involved, because I really do think if they conclude a rape was involved, they can't let him ever play again, or at least not for multiple years.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Yeah. But if they found he did something that was a violation of the personal conduct policy, but they're unable to conclude that the worst of the allegations is true, then you suspend him 6 games with 6 games left in the season, and he's free and clear for 2020. And that's a way that you can kind of reverse engineer the outcome you want. And that's the biggest problem with this. This in-house justice system allows the NFL to pick a preferred outcome and work backward to justify what it is that they want to do.
Pretty much. Well, at least in that scenario, Mike, we would be able to do this all over in the offseason. What team's going to sign Antonio Brown? Is he worth it, et cetera?
And how long will he stay there? But you know what? Right now, with DeSean Jackson on IR, and I assume this is why we're talking about this.
Yes.
Antonio Brown, Antonio Brown, you need a guy. Like, wouldn't that be great for the Eagles offense to add a guy who can provide the deep threat, and not just the deep threat, he can do all the other things too. And he's that element that we kept waiting for. Hey, whenever DeSean Jackson comes back, boy, this offense is going to be different. It's going to be better. It's going to be great. Now he's not coming back. Now you signed Jordan Matthews. I mean, what the hell is that? Have you guys talked about whether or not Torrey Smith would be an option?
Yeah, at least he said fast. No. He said no. He told Howie no.
They reached out to him and he said no?
I think so.
According to local reports, that was the case. Yeah,
I hadn't seen that.
He said no thanks. No, but Mike, you're right. That's why we are talking about it. And we're talking to Mike Fleury of Pro Football Talk. I think a lot of us were kind of waiting to where we're like, all right, DeSean Jackson comes in and he saves the season. We don't think that we can really win anything by doing what we're doing right now. And then he comes to saves the season. He's out within five plays. Then he has surgery a couple days later. What was the reaction to that, Mike? I mean, the whole thing was just weird. The whole situation from it seemed like it was a week-to-week injury to when it's like, man, he's been out for a month. Then he finally comes back and he's out for the rest of the season. Very strange.
Well, that's right. And the question becomes, why didn't you just get surgery when this first happened? And what's that balance between surgery and not surgery? And look, every surgery is serious. We get desensitized to it because it becomes this assembly line, right? And, oh, this guy needs surgery. He gets surgery. Surgery was a success, even when it isn't. And he's ahead of schedule. And, you know, it's very easy. Remember they used to say minor surgery all the time? And one of our lines was, it's only minor surgery when it's not surgery performed on you. Anytime you get your body cut open, it's a big deal. And DeSean Jackson wanted to try to get himself rehabbed without it. And they made a bad calculation. It didn't work. And I'm sure he personally would like to go back to week one and whenever the injury actually happened, get it fixed then and there and not try to rehab. But if you have to have it done anyway, you do it at a time where you can come back and play. Because that's a frustration for the team, for the fans, for him. Yep. He'd be back right now, assuming that the surgery did go well and it was a success and they rehabbed it. And it's just unfortunate because what he did week one and how he helped the team snap out of that funk, and Carson Wentz told me after the game, that was the moment that it turns. Down 17-0, you hit DeSean Jackson for one long pass and the cloud lifts and the funk evaporates and the Eagles roar back and win the game. And it would be nice to have that element. Although they didn't have that element last year when they found the gas pedal late in the season. You know, the Eagles have shown us that they know how to find that gas pedal some point after Thanksgiving and ride it into the postseason. And, of all the teams in the NFC, that's one I'm keeping an eye on now.
All right, Mike. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.
All right, there he is, Mike Florio.
Johnny Marks and Ike Reese. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.